You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Heat Nation. I'm David Ramil, the host of Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Please make sure to follow the show if you haven't already, wherever you listen to podcasts, to get the latest episodes. Today's episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra at only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. Stay tuned for the Ultra Moment segment coming up later in this episode. Today's episode, it's all about the Olympics, as Tyler Herro will work with Eric Spoelstra this summer, one way or another. But we'll start off over at the FTX Arena. Still weird saying that, but three takeaways from Bam Adebayo's media session at Junior Heat Summer Youth Camp. He addressed both the campers and also Heat media on Thursday afternoon, and there were a couple things to take away from there. One thing in particular that really stood out to me is that, at least when it comes to this past season, it is healthily in its rearview mirror for Bam Adebayo. He has moved on from the season, but not to the degree where he doesn't care. It's obvious that he still is upset about how the season came to an end. He wants to rectify that. And I think that's the right attitude, because you could tell that he is committed to improving. He talked about expanding his range from, of course, the mid-range jumper, but also stretching out to the three-point line. And it's very apparent that he wants to be able to just move on from what happened last year. It's a whole new opportunity, a whole new season, and he's going to begin putting in the work in order to become the better version of himself. The version that I think so many of you expect from him. Recent scuttles also talked about, you know, some players wanting Bam to take a more aggressive role on the team, to be a more vocal presence because of his leadership. I think that's going to fall in line naturally. We still overlook how young he is, that at 23 years old, soon to be 24, he's expected to be a leader of that locker room. Very few players in NBA history have been able to do that. I don't even know that Dwayne was that player when he took over in 2006, right? Maybe he was empowered to some degree by guys like Alonzo Mourning and Gary Payton, and of course, Shaquille O'Neal. But it was more about just his talent was so great that I think it was able to translate and dominate without having to necessarily be a vocal leader. I've maintained that one of the biggest, most glaring weaknesses, and something that he's addressed to some degree as far as Dwayne Wade's career is concerned, is that he wasn't always a very vocal leader. I still think that he could have done a lot better of taking Michael Beasley, who, by the way, just signed in Portland, the 11-year veteran. I can't believe it's been that long already. Played 11 seasons in the NBA, is signing with the Portland Trail Blazers to play in their summer league team. So that's going to be interesting. I plan on being on Vegas. I hope to see Michael Beasley there. But anyway, to go back to my original point, Dwayne, not quite the vocal leader, I think, early on in his career, and certainly not even later on in his career. And by the time the big three rolled around, it didn't matter whether he was the vocal leader or not. He was going to bust your ass anyway. He was going to take over games. He was going to dominate because he was Dwayne freaking Wade, and that's just what he does. But for Bam to take that role at 24, to be expected to take that role, hell of a responsibility. I think he's up for it. I think he has the demeanor. I think he's learned from Udonis Haslem and now Jimmy Butler, and prior to that, even Dwayne Wade and other veterans that he's had throughout his career. I think it's a great opportunity for him to really take those lessons and become a more vocal leader. Now, the other takeaway is that he's also looking very much forward to being part of the Olympic team. And I'll talk a little bit later about what the best case scenario is for Bam as far as his participation in the USA Olympics, or the World Olympics anyway. But he said, it means you're representing your country, your team, and the name on the back of the jersey. That's all I can really ask for. It's a pleasure to be able to go to the Olympics. A lot of dudes don't get this opportunity. You could tell he really likes it. And I think he's also still a little upset about what happened a couple seasons ago when he was cut by the team and didn't go on to participate in, I think it was the World Cup at that point. And of course, they wound up losing badly. But it's also interesting to see some comments earlier in the week from Jerry Colangelo, who runs Team USA basketball. He said about Bam that he's a young athletic guy, quote, he can run the court, he's a shot blocker, and he plays above the rim. Now, looking at how Bam plays with the Miami Heat, I wouldn't think that that's exactly what – I don't think that's how you're viewed. I don't know why you would view Adebayo in that way. To me, He's not a shot blocker. He can block shots, but he's so often away from the rim that it's not really a priority. He's more of a perimeter defender. He can play above the rim, but I just don't see that being his role. I don't think he's got quite the size for it. I'm a little surprised that Colangelo said that. Also, it doesn't really matter because it's Popovich's team and the flow on the floor will dictate what happens. Now, he's athletic. He's explosive. Certainly, he can dunk and play above the rim, but I just don't view him as a quote-unquote shot blocker either, which isn't to say that he can't get those opportunities. Playing against probably less athletic players from around the world, slightly less athletic. I mean, the degrees to which the level of athleticism is, like we're talking about the best players for Nigeria, let's say, and they're still world-class athletes and yet probably just a shade below where Bam Adebayo is, and maybe he can dominate as a quote-unquote shot blocker. It's going to be interesting. Speaking of Nigeria, Precious Achiuwa will be playing for the Nigeria national team. That's actually the first exhibition game taking place for Team USA on July 10th, with group play beginning 2 weeks later on July 25th when the Olympics officially kick off. So that's going to be interesting to see Adebayo go up against potentially Precious Achiuwa, teammate there, so that's going to be fun. Not only that, but I think Gabe Vincent's also part of that team as well, so it's going to be a very interesting ability for Heat players to participate in this. And look, I'll talk about this later on, but why not get at it right now? The reality is that the Heat players are going to be Miami Heat in general are going to be represented very well at the Olympics from many, many different areas there, and I think it's a great opportunity for them to just grow as players, as human beings, to learn from that experience, to share in that with other like-minded athletes from around the world. It's going to be really, really interesting to see that happen. And look, I also, Bam spoke about rooting for Jay Crowder in the playoffs. Obviously, Jay and the rest of the Phoenix Suns advancing to the finals. For Jay, the second straight trip to the NBA Finals. I think Crowder has been solid overall for the Phoenix Suns. Certainly his presence is missed there, and I think Bam certainly hinted at that today at the youth camp as well. It's a great experience to see him still following the playoffs, still rooting for his guys. I think that's the kind of connection that Bam is able to make so easily, which is why it's so important for him to continue to just reach out to other players, something he did talk about too. He said if he's asked to be a recruiter, if he's asked to make a pitch about the Miami Heat, if a certain player, Bradley Beal, I'm looking at you, asks about the Miami way of doing things, we'll see. I wonder, because sometimes, look, I've asked him about it too. I mentioned this recently that in the All-Star game a couple years ago, I talked to him about his role there and whether or not he'd recruit, and kind of wink, wink, sort of, yeah, of course I'll do it. Similar to what he did today. And I wonder how much recruiting is taking place. Like, I don't think it's quite about, you got to come to the Heat. You got to come to the Heat. I think it's more what we saw from guys like Durant, Irving, and DeAndre Jordan a few years ago, where it's kind of like an organic process. For those guys, a little bit different maybe, not quite the quote-unquote typical player. They wanted to just form a friendship, or maybe they just play a game of cards or something like that. Maybe they just bond by gambling or something. It's always something. And we hear about this even back in 1992 with the original Dream Team. Guys like Charles Barkley taking on Larry Bird and Patrick Ewing, who formed a very unusual, unexpected friendship. It's just these things happen organically. And I think as human beings, they're going to gravitate towards somebody. So you wonder who Bam will wind up gravitating towards. Maybe it's Dame Lillard. Maybe it's Bradley Beal. Hell, maybe it's Kevin Love, who's a potential trade target for the Miami Heat, something I'll talk about in tomorrow's episode. But I think it's great to see Bam motivated, to see him engaged, to see him ready for the opportunity, and he's absolutely taking it seriously. So it's a good thing for him. And again, I'll talk about that later on because I think there's a lot of positives to take from this experience. But there's another player, another one of Bam's teammates, who is going to be sharing in the USA Olympic experience. And I'll talk about Tyler Herro in the next segment. But first, it's our brand new segment over here brought to us by our partners at Michelob Ultra. And it wasn't really a tough choice for me to pick the week's Ultra moment. There wasn't much to really take from a Miami Heat perspective. I'm happy to see Jay thriving. Hopefully Solomon Hill is able to advance with his Atlanta Hawks. From a Heat perspective, it's good to see players represented and former Heat players take whatever lessons they could from their tenure in Miami and apply those towards a championship type experience. But I think what I really took as the ultra moment of the week has to have been just seeing the joy on players' faces as they realize that they're advancing to the NBA Finals. Miami, of course, being in that same position just a year ago, you know, or a little less than a year ago, obviously, with the Orlando bubble and the weird timeline and everything else. But the joy on their faces to see guys like Jimmy Butler be able to reach this pinnacle of his career, for Goran Dragic, who's never really had this opportunity, for a young player like Bam, whose playoff experiences have been inconsistent, you know, and for him to be able to get to this point after a dominating performance in the West, in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Boston Celtics, just a really, really great and positive experience. You know, a guy like Duncan Robinson, he's been in the league 3 seasons now, and he's been in the playoffs twice, once to the NBA Finals. Like, that's the kind of opportunity. Chris Paul just reached his first NBA Finals. And I know with a player like Paul, there's a million different reasons why he hasn't been able to make the finals. But you look at a player that great, a surefire Hall of Famer, perhaps one of the best 5 to 10 point guards, depending on how you rate his ability, of all time, and somehow only able to get to the NBA Finals this once. An incredible experience, and Miami was able to achieve that last year in year one of the Jimmy Butler experience. For Bam to get to that point, to go up against greats like LeBron James and Anthony Davis, for Duncan to have that taste, that experience, so many players to be able to get to that point and be able to play at the highest stage. Wow, that's pure joy for me. That's pure happiness to see them get to that point, to be able to acknowledge and understand that. And I think we saw that enjoyment this past week from the Phoenix Suns, but we also saw it last season with the Miami Heat. And I think that's what kind of brought it all back, just remembering how excited they were for the opportunity before all the bad things happened, before Bam's injury in game one, before Goran's injury probably took him out of the rotation or would make a long time a lasting impact on his ability to play there. I think it was great to see them also joyful and just being able to understand, hey, we're going to the NBA Finals, that they had survived the Orlando bubble experience, that they had just been able to thrive. It's kind of like sitting back and enjoying a nice cold Michelob Ultra. 2.6 carbs, 95 calories. It's only worth it if you enjoy it, but it's so easy to create that joy, to create the success that comes from that joy when you're sitting back enjoying these wonderful moments, especially if you've got a great Michelob Ultra in your hand there. And believe me, look, enjoyment isn't the end game. It's the whole game, and you can see that this past week. These guys are really enjoying the experience, and you will too, thanks to our friends over at Michelob Ultra. Miami Heat are out of the playoffs, but the road to the finals still continues, and our coverage is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. It's only worth it if you enjoy it, and at 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, we can all enjoy the games a little bit more this season. Well, somebody's summer plans have certainly changed. That's Tyler Hero, mentioned as a member of the 17 people attending or participating in the Team USA Select Team. That Select Team, filled with mostly young players, first and second year players, some international guys who have had some experience internationally. They'll be participating in it as well. So it's a great experience. They'll be challenging Team USA. Bam mentioned that he was looking forward to going up against Tyler. And the head coach for the Team Select group, which is Eric Spoelstra. Eric Spoelstra will be coaching that group, and he'll be coaching Tyler Hero. The group also includes Sadiq Bey from the Detroit Pistons, Miles Bridges from the Hornets, Anthony Edwards from the Minnesota Timberwolves, Darius Garland, Tyrese Halliburton, Keldon Johnson from the Spurs, Dakota Matias, I forgot about him, from the 76ers, Emmanuel Quickley from the New York Knicks, a guy that was on Miami's radar prior to the draft, Naz Reid of the Timberwolves also joining, Edwards, his Timberwolves teammate, Cam Reynolds from the Houston Rockets, and Obi Toppin from the New York Knicks, a couple other guys here and there, PJ Washington, excuse me, from Charlotte, and Patrick Williams from Chicago. So a good group. It doesn't really matter. This is just the beginnings of their involvement in Team USA. It's all about a mesh of talent, a good fit on the floor, having enough shooting, Tyler Hero, et cetera, Tyrese Halliburton, and others, playmakers, athleticism, young guys. They're not actually expected to compete with the actual Olympic group. And while the Olympic group will likely go in there as they normally do, taking it a little bit easy, you know, taking their foot off their gas, these young players aren't. They're going to go in there and try to do their best. And you know what? I love that. And the best person, to lead them in that regard, Eric Spoelstra. He's going to be their head coach. Can you imagine that? This is the best. And this is something, again, that I can't wait to hint on in the next segment. But it's just so much that can be taken from that experience. But for Spo, this is what he loves. Like the pressure of the Big Three era, the challenges of maximizing superstar talent, that's not his nature. Like, he can do it. He's obviously done it. He's one of the most successful coaches in NBA history. And that's no lie. That's no exaggeration. That's just who he is. He's been to 5 NBA finals as a head coach in 13 seasons now. I mean, that's a hell of a run. He's been to the playoffs a number of times. He's done everything he can. He's coached superstars, Hall of Famers, role players, you name it. And he's always gotten the most out of their abilities. And I think that's why he's going to thrive in this environment. He's the best coach for this experience. To be able to work with these young players, to get them motivated, to see what they do best, to just kind of say, no, this is what you need to do. Tweak this, change that. He's probably not going to be like that hands-on, you know, not to the point where he's going to completely change somebody's game, but it's about coaching, mentoring, working with you, pushing you to that next level. Something that, again, this is who he is. And for these young guys, they're going to love that experience. They're going to take it seriously. They're going to play hard as hell, and they're going to get motivated because Spoelstra is going to get them to that point. Isn't that exciting? Like, I mean, I know it's kind of a joke because it's not to be taken all that seriously. Like I said, Bam's already looking forward to blowing up Spo's group. He's going to take them on. He's going to challenge them the way he always does. And, you know, he's going to get everybody else in that Team USA group to do the same thing. But for this select team to get an opportunity to knock the big boys around a little bit, like, you know, we've heard even back in 1992 when that group of Grant Hill and others challenged that first dream team in 1992 that really pushed them and challenged them. And of course, they were motivated and pissed off by it. And I think that's the way it's supposed to be. You're supposed to push those guys to an extreme because they're going to get challenged. They can't consider going into the Olympics. And while they might be the favorite, they're not going to have an easy time of it. They're going to get beat up here and there. They're going to have close games. They might be able to pull away by nature of how good this team works together, by the fact that they have a guy like Kevin Durant who can just dominate against anybody, regardless of whether they're a team from Brazil or Spain or Serbia or anywhere. Kevin Durant's going to do what he does, and he's going to be great at it. I think the number I heard recently, and I'd forgotten how good he was playing at the international level, but with the shorter three-point line, I think he's shooting close to 60% from three-point range. I'm sorry. I shouldn't stop and laugh in the middle of a podcast, but just at 60% from three-point range. And this, again, is being challenged by the world's greatest athletes in the world's greatest game. Unbelievable. So anyway, to go back to the select team, I'm just so excited for Hero to get this experience, to work with other guys, to kind of just be in his element here. It's really interesting. I would not have guessed that he would have been selected for this kind of opportunity, but yet here he is. And maybe we're, you know, that kind of shows how, as a fan base, everybody's like needlessly trashing a guy who's still considered one of the some, you know, 20-something best young players in the league. I don't know. I think that's a hell of an accomplishment there. That should be something that a lot of people are talking about. Like, everybody's looking at Spo working with Hero, and, you know, of course, by that point, who knows? Tyler will have been traded half a dozen times. It's very likely and unlikely. Who knows? Nobody knows anything, really. It could all change from one day to the next. Look, Kyle Lowry was supposed to be in a Heat uniform until he wasn't, you know, up until the very minute before the trade deadline, or even the few minutes afterwards when they're finalizing the details of any potential trade. And of course, Woj hasn't reported it yet, or Shams hasn't reported it yet. Everybody was convinced Kyle Lowry was coming to Miami, and then all of a sudden, Masai Ujiri says, nah, we're going to hang on to him for whatever reason. But, you know, Tyler could very well be part of the Heat next season. I think it's very likely that he will be part of the Heat next season, because you're not going to get that much of an upgrade. And as I've mentioned before, and I think the fact that he is part of this team kind of just shows that. So to put a bow on it, there could be added drama there between Tyler working with Spo at a point in time when he may be on the trade block. Who knows? He's worked with him last season when he was absolutely on the trade block, so I don't think that's really going to change too much. But I am looking forward to both Hero thriving and Spoelstra working with these young men and trying to get the most out of their talents and just being in his element. This is really what he's all about. So I think it's going to be great for him and great for the guys who are going to be participating in the select team, and great for Spo to be part of this, because from here on out, Well, let's say he's got his eyes on a bigger seat in that coaching chair, and I'll talk about that in the next segment here on Locked On Heat. But just a reminder that if you want the best, you can get any better than this. If you want stability, if you want credibility, if you want an organization that's been around for 2 decades, 20 years of service, a family-owned business serving auto parts customers online, then go to rockauto.com. Why go anywhere else? You've got access to a computer on your phone or at home. Go to rockauto.com. Choose everything you need with just a few easy clicks. You'll find thousands of manufacturers and parts there for you. You can get everything you need, again, simply, directly, delivered to your door, very safe. You don't have to interact with anybody. You don't have to deal with anything. If you want to do it from the comfort of your home, if you want to do it on your lunch break, rockauto.com is the way to go. Their low prices are the same for everybody. And right now, if you find the parts that you want for your car or truck, then go to the section that says, how'd you hear about us? And write the phrase locked on so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. That's rockauto.com. Starting July 19th, the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 is presented by Locked On and Odyssey. They're featuring analysis from the GOAT of NBA mock drafts, Chad Ford, and Odyssey NBA experts Brian Scalabrine and former Suns general manager Ryan McDonough. Our Locked On NBA local experts will make selections and trades for your favorite basketball teams throughout this week-long special event. Search the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 on the new Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. Odyssey is your audio home for all the sports, podcasts, music, and news that matter to you. That's AUDACY, Odyssey. Such a great experience for Heat fans. You know, not much to look forward to when it comes to the drafts, but if you're interested in the young up-and-coming players who will be a part of the NBA for the next seasons, you know, next few seasons, really making their impact, this is a great, great way to see how the rest of the league changes and everything else. But speaking of how things change, again, just to tie it all together, what's the best takeaway from this Olympic experience? Because again, keeping with the theme of the Olympics and everything else, and just thinking about Bam's joy, Spo in his element, Tyler getting the opportunity to prove everybody wrong yet again, like all these things are such positives for the Miami Heat. And it kind of reminds me how just a few years ago, this team was so much more mediocre. Zach Lowe said a few years ago about the Heat having one of the most dire situations in the league. It certainly felt that way, although I think that was, even at the time, at least to me, just the kind of thing that national people say because you got to say something, perhaps. I don't think it really had the nuance, the balanced perspective of somebody that was watching the team. Look, I'll never forget 41-41. I never felt like it was the worst. I know a lot of Heat fans did. But to me, I think there was progress being made. There was stability. And you know what there wasn't? There wasn't losing. You know, maybe you weren't winning 60 games, but you certainly weren't losing 60 games either. Hey, shout out Philadelphia and the process, of course. Look, I mean, you can debate that all day. But I think just even as a reporter, somebody covering a team, I would much rather cover a team that's invested in trying to win, even if they wind up falling short like they did a couple years ago or 4 years ago. Even that year, 41-41, 2016, you know, it was something. There was effort. They turned things around. They did the best they could. I mean, look, it was a lot better than the alternative. It was a lot better than watching a team rebuild and lose all the time. And players say this all the time. You know how much better it is. Oh, I'm sorry. I was just listening to a podcast. I know I shouldn't talk about other podcasts even as I'm doing it, but just it's great to hear some confirmation from players about things that I talk about as a reporter all the time. You know, the idea about how difficult it was losing. Channing Frye on the J.J. Redick podcast, future Heat player J.J. Redick, I might say. I for Frye, just to see him go from Orlando, a team that I was covering at the time, and him, you know, I was there day in and day out. I would see him, a positive guy in the locker room, you know, trying to do the best that he possibly could and be, you know, again, positive despite everything that was going on, despite the fact that he was losing. And for him to be able to get traded to the Cleveland Cavaliers, a team that wound up, you know, winning the NBA Finals later that season, he was so overjoyed. I talked to him when he was in Cleveland later on that year and just how happy he was about being on this team that had something to prove, had something to fight for. And he brought that energy with him when he came there. He talked about that on the podcast that, you know, when he joined a team like the Cavs that were winning so much more than the Orlando Magic ever did. He was like, why are you guys so serious? You're winning by 30 points. You're on your way to the NBA Finals. You've got the best player in the world here on the roster. What is going on? So it's just, again, players don't want to lose. Players don't tank. Front offices do. The players may not have the talent or the ability to get the most out of their, you know, game in and game out type situations, but they're going to try their best. They're going to work hard. Maybe there's a joy that you can take from that. But ultimately, when a loss is a loss, it's harder to enjoy. So I'll always think that it's better for a team like Miami to concentrate more on trying to improve somehow, some way, to make the right deal, for things to break even. Look, too many tangents in one podcast, but always worth bringing up. You look at what's happening in the playoffs this year, where series were dictated by injuries, you know, that the Lakers could have gone on any further, that even Miami's own situation last year in the finals, of course, notwithstanding. But for the Clippers to push as hard as they did and get the kind of performance they did from guys like Reggie Jackson and Paul George, and then to fall short because they're missing Kawhi Leonard, their quote-unquote closer. You're looking at Trae Young being out for the Atlanta Hawks, even as Giannis Antetokounmpo misses time for Milwaukee. And it's, you know, you never want to get to that point where your series hangs because of an injury or something like that. But that's the reality. And that's why you always try to do what you can, because something might break right in your favor. Was the Heat opportunistic last year? Absolutely. But they made the most of those opportunities. Whether those opportunities present themselves or not, you still have to take advantage of them. And it kind of reminds me of the whole, another tangent, that conversation that people have about PEDs and steroids back in the steroid era. It's like, you know, lots of guys could take steroids, but that doesn't mean you're going to hit 70 home runs in a season. You still have to be a very good player. Maybe it gives you an added boost, just like an injury might give you the added ability or the added opportunity. But regardless of whether or not Giannis misses time, if you don't have a guy like Jimmy Butler who closes games and pushes you to that next level, you won't be able to get past him in the playoffs. So that's just another, you know, way of kind of tying all together why Philadelphia's process is not going to be that successful, because unfortunately losing continues to breed losing, and you just can't find a way out of the experience. For a guy like Joel Embiid, if he had gone into the situation right away where he was expected to be a winner, maybe it was a little different. I think Ben Simmons similarly. I think both of them just gravitate more easily towards losing. It's hard to shake that kind of just loser's mentality. It's not a knock on them as individuals. I just think it's more difficult to learn from those kinds of things. I talk about the instability of a locker room all the time, how young players in Orlando just see that. Even a great player like Nikola Vucevic or a potential great player like Aaron Gordon, you just learn losing habits. You know, you're down 10 and you go, okay, well, you know, there's always next season. And you kind of just punt the season, you punt the game, and next thing you know, you're in the draft again, hoping for a top five pick, and, you know, who knows what happens to those players? They don't always pan out. For Miami, you know, Bam Adebayo mentioned that he's been in a very different locker room, kind of reminiscent of the same things that happened with Justice Winslow and Josh Richardson during their Heat careers. You know, the locker room changes so quickly from a team dominated by Dwayne Wade and his presence to the year before that with Dion and Hassan and Goran being the quote-unquote leaders of that group, to be able to find his footing in there. And then, of course, with Jimmy last season, and then, you know, relative stability this season of a Jimmy-led team with him and Bam as the two leaders on this group. But either way, they still had changes last year with Jay and, you know, Solomon Hill and Andre Iguodala. They had other players like Justice, James Johnson, you know, Dion also. That locker room has not always been and will not always be stable. This isn't, you know, like the Spurs that were making changes on the fringes. They weren't, you know, tweaking things here and there to their roster. They have made wholesale changes over the last couple seasons, and I think they will do again this year if possible. But Bam has managed to thrive because of the culture of winning, of being able to continue to focus on the main thing being the main thing. Thank you, Pat Riley. Now you've made it part of my lexicon as well. And the main thing is always winning. That's why you keep it that way. You always focus on what you have to do. Yeah, you can get distracted by family and everything else, but you certainly aren't going to get distracted by loser's mentality, which is, I think, something that a lot of franchises have a hard time shaking. I mean, Minnesota has enough talent. They've had enough talent. Things haven't always gone well, and sure, there's always the challenge of the Western Conference, but they've had enough talent and somehow can't seem to get to the playoffs until a player like Jimmy Butler comes around. So, as far as the Olympic experience,
again, Spo's going to get so much out of this. Bam is going to get so much out of this. For him to be able to bring that attitude, that infectious enthusiasm, that positive attitude that we're going to go and stomp their ass. We're going to do what we have to do to win. You know, I think that's going to really get to a player like Bradley Beal, who hasn't been part of a lot of winning over the course of his career. You know, other guys like Middleton, maybe an NBA champion at that point. Devin Booker might be an NBA champion at that point, but there are other players in that roster. Even a guy like Kevin Love, who's been a part of winning in before, I think he's going to be a guy who really appreciates and has, in his past, appreciated what Bam can do. Like, I can talk about Kevin Love, and I will in a future episode, but just on the surface, I like the fit. I don't think any player is ever washed until they absolutely choose to be. I think we saw from Blake Griffin what a resurgence can happen, and I don't think it's the same level of, you know, diminished athleticism. Kevin Love was never dominating players with his athleticism. He's always been more of a stretch guy. A great compliment, might I add, to Bam Adebayo, something that we could have absolutely used in the past, in the playoffs this past season. I mean, a guy who you know is going to be able to knock down shots and pull down rebounds. Hello, a big weakness for Miami. I don't know. I know he's going to get paid an exorbitant amount of money. You hate to do it, but you also kind of hope that maybe you get somebody similar to that on this roster, because I think he would be a good fit here. Sorry. I should just name this episode the Too Many Tangents episode, but there's a lot going on. And I'm still very, very grateful that I get an opportunity to talk about basketball regularly, even though the Heat aren't in the playoffs. So much still happens, from free agency to potential trades to the Colin Sexton era set to kick off in just a few short weeks, the draft, you know, all these things happening all at the same time. And of course, the NBA Finals, you haven't even kicked off yet. It's so exciting. What a time to be alive and to be a basketball fan. And you all are so lucky, and I am lucky that I get a chance to talk to you. So thank you so much for always making this show a part of your repertoire. I know there are so many different podcasts and so many different things to fill your time, and yet you still consistently make Locked On Heat and me a part of your rotation. I am absolutely grateful for that. Thank you so much for your support. Always feel free to send me an email, or you know, you can always reach me at lockedonheat@gmail.com or my own personal email at dvermillnba@gmail.com. You can always send something via Twitter at the hashtag AskHelloHeat. Be sure to please follow the show if you haven't already and leave a review. You've done a great job of leaving some extra reviews there lately. Special thanks to all of our sponsors for supporting today's show. And once again, thanks to all of you. I'm David Ramil, signing off for now.